You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hey, a very good morning to each one of you. Thank you so much for joining us today here at ICS Church. My name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here. If it's your first time to join us, we are glad that you have come to spend this few minutes with us this morning. We're going to go straight into the Word today. The title for the message is For All. For All. Hey, how many of you have been binge watching this past couple of weeks? Come on. You know who you are. Put your hand up wherever you are. Yeah, I've done that a couple of times as well. And you know, the thing is with some of these TV series, sometimes if it's just one series, you're kind of left hanging. You want some more and you're like, man, is that it? I don't know what's going to happen next. And it does feel a little bit frustrating. And I'm sure that's how some people feel. Hey, if you're looking for something good to watch, let me give you a suggestion. Right now on YouTube, you don't even have to pay for this. You can search The Chosen. Go to YouTube and search The Chosen. This is a new free series about the life of Jesus, shared in a different way. And so, again, you can look for that and binge watch that while you're in home quarantine. I don't get any commission on this, so hey, that's all for free. So I hope you enjoy that. Give me a shout out if you are going to be watching that this week. But I've been wondering, and I was thinking last week, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I was thinking about the disciples, what that would have been for them. They probably had a question, which I had before as well. You know, what do we do now? What do we do now? Jesus died, he resurrected, and it's an exciting thing. But what do we do now? We're going to discuss this a little bit today. Last week, we talked about the first part of that book. Dr. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, which is his own biopic, right? His own account of the life of Jesus from the time that he was born to the time he died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. He actually wrote another book, in case you didn't know this, and we're going to look at that book today. It's called the Book of Acts. It's in the New Testament part of the Bible, and this is the second volume of Luke's account. We're going to go straight into it. It's in Acts chapter 1. This book is no longer about the life of Jesus, although he does make an appearance at the first chapter, but the majority of the book is all about the early church. It's actually the birth of the church and how the church spread from Jerusalem all around the world. This is the very beginnings. If you've never read this book and you're a history buff, you are going to enjoy this. So we're going to go straight to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. It says here, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So once again, Dr. Luke is writing to Theophilus. This is a guy who is probably a Roman, right? He's not Jewish, and most likely the guy that funded Luke's research. So he again researches about the life of the early church and how the church started. Let's continue reading in verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, talking about Jesus. Yes, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So again, this is first century eyewitness accounts. Luke investigated all the eyewitnesses, and experts tell us that probably more than 400 to 500 disciples saw Jesus back from the dead, alive. After the resurrection, because it was 40 days. This is more than a month, and he gave many proofs, convincing people that he was alive. Again, you know, that's hard to, if it's a conspiracy theory, that's really hard to keep together if it's more than 400 to 500 people. In verse 4 it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So let's talk about that a little bit. So again, they were interested. Jesus, hey, you're back from the dead. Maybe now is the time that we take back the kingdom of Israel, right? The political kingdom, the physical kingdom of Israel. Maybe now is the time that you reestablish that. And Jesus directly tells them, no, actually, you don't even need to know when that time is. That's not even a priority. That should not even be your concern at this point. Now, I'm sure they're probably disappointed. I don't know. Maybe at least a little bit. But then he tells them really what should be the priority. If that is not the priority, then something else needs to be. And he says, the priority is for you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there you have it. Jesus specifically telling them, what is next? Well, the next is not the physical kingdom. The next is for you to tell others that I have risen from the grave, to tell others the good news that there is a way out of this life, that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And the way for this to happen is that I will empower you by the Holy Spirit. That's good news. Power is available for us, for them to be effective witnesses. And this is true for us today as well. After he said this, verse 9, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. It's very clear, just in this account from Dr. Luke, that Jesus is for everyone, everywhere. Although he came on earth and his physical movement was limited to Galilee, Jerusalem, and Israel, it's very clear that his desire is for the whole world to know about his salvation and to come and become his followers. He is for everyone, everywhere. He said so himself. And so because Jesus is for all, we in the 21st century who also follow Jesus Christ need to be for all as well. Come on, tell somebody beside you, hey, are you for all? Are you for all? You need to be for all. If you follow Jesus, you need to be for everyone too. We cannot pick and choose and say, hey, you know, I'm just going to pick and choose who I'm going to witness to, who I'm going to share Jesus with. No, Jesus said, you're supposed to go everywhere. And you're supposed to tell this to everyone. In fact, truth was stated as early as the Old Testament. This was God's desire for the nations to know his love. And it echoes on in the life of Jesus. And after Jesus' physical ascension to heaven, it continues on through the church. This is exactly what happened in the book of Acts. This is a story of how the church started by a few people, blossomed and exploded globally, that in the 21st century, we continue to see people come and put their faith in Jesus Christ, becoming his disciples. So how did this come about? Let's move forward. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. It says here, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Wow. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, I don't know about you, but speaking another language, again, that's easier for some, harder for others, you know. But what's interesting here is these are all Galileans. These guys, Peter, James, John, all the apostles, they haven't really traveled further than the nation of Israel. And so it's interesting that at this point, they begin to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit baptizes them. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Again, because of the festival of Pentecost, of harvest. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They probably thought there was something burning. They probably thought a building had collapsed because that was the description, right? It was a sound of a violent wind coming into the room, and all of a sudden, people with their voice raised, speaking all at the same time in languages that they did not know. So what's the commotion? What's going on? Verse 6, they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed, these people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Now get ready for it. Here it is. Luke actually writes down, based on eyewitness accounts, what the languages that were spoken here in the book of Acts. And he says, here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamian, Judean, Cappadocia, Pontus, other provinces of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, and even Roman, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. All these guys heard Galileans speaking in their own language as if it was their native tongue. And we all hear these people, verse 11, speaking in our own languages. And what were they declaring? About the wonderful things God has done. There it is. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, empowering the first century disciples to declare the glory of God, to point people to God, to reveal Jesus to those who did not know Him. Again, all the while Jesus was on earth, His ministry was limited to Galilee, to Jerusalem, to the nation of Israel. But it has always been His desire for the message to go beyond. But it wasn't going to be done during His time. This is the reason for the existence of the church today. The church is not a building. It is a people comprised of followers of Jesus, also known as disciples. That's you and me. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are the church. You belong to the church. And you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus is for everyone, everywhere. That's very clear. He baptized His disciples so that they could declare who He is to the nations that were in the city during this festival. Because Jesus is for all, we need to be for all as well. So how do we do this? How do we do this? We're supposed to make disciples of all. How do we do this? Well, Matthew also has his own account. So we're going to go to Matthew. Matthew was a follower of Jesus, right? Unlike Luke, who was not one of the 12, Matthew was actually one of the 12. He was one of the close followers of Jesus. He was a tax collector by profession, and he had his own account of the life of Jesus. And in Matthew 28, after the resurrection of Jesus, Matthew was able to capture Jesus' last command, which needs to be our first priority as disciples of Christ today. And he writes it down here in his gospel, Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. This is what we are supposed to do. Jesus' command needs to be our priority today. It's not enough that we enjoy salvation. Yes, we praise God. We celebrate the resurrected Christ. That's what we did last Sunday. But apart from salvation, we are supposed to follow Jesus' command to make disciples. If we're not making disciples, then we're pretty much disobeying what Jesus commanded his followers to do, because that is what the church exists for today. So you see, how are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to make disciples? Well, first of all, we are supposed to be disciples first. Be a disciple, and once you're a disciple, you've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord over your life, then your next step is to make a disciple. It's as simple as that. Be a disciple, make a disciple. How do we do it? Basing our discussion right now on Matthew 28, here's a couple of things. Let's break it down. The first thing is we need to get power. What power? What Jesus said. He said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the power that I will send upon you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. This is different from salvation. When we first put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we were convicted of our sin and committed our life to follow Him as Savior and Lord, that was the born-again experience. We were renewed from the inside out. The old is gone, the new has come, as Paul says. But Jesus promises another gift. He says, you know, the baptism is going to come. And the purpose of the baptism of the Spirit is for you to be effective, empowered witnesses of me. Of me. And that is what this power is for. It's not power so that we could fly. It's not power so that we could be visible and invisible in one place or another, or power so that we could suddenly become rich. No, it is power to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is going to be a lot of threat against life for the disciples. In fact, that is exactly what they were going to experience. And without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I am certain that many of them probably would have given up. Even today, some people who are not empowered by the Spirit easily give up at the slightest persecution, at the slightest difficulty because of faith. But because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we're able to endure all things. That's the first thing. Seek the empowerment of the Spirit. How do we do that? Just like the disciples did. They were just ready for the gift. If somebody's ever given you a gift, for you to experience it, to know what it is, you have to receive it. It's as simple as receiving that gift. Hungering for the presence and loving Jesus. That's all they did. They were praying, worshiping Jesus in the upper room, desiring for His presence to come and fill them, and the Holy Spirit came and baptized them. You don't have to be in a church building to experience that. Right there in your room at home, in your personal quiet time, in your personal worship time, in prayer time, just continue desiring for His presence and the gift that He wants to give, and He will give it to you. You don't have to be perfect. No, you just have to desire it. It's a gift, and Jesus wants to give it. So let's be open to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit over us. Secondly, we need to get going. You need to get going. You say, well, I haven't been baptized in the Spirit yet. That's okay. Because as we go and follow the Lord, as we go and start sharing in time, He will baptize us. Let's get going. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And you say, well, there's not really anywhere I can go right now, Chad. You know, I mean, I'm stuck at home. That's true. That's true. Right now, that's where we are. But you know what? You can go online. You can go to places with your phone, right? You can give somebody a call. You can send a text message to someone. But when the doors are open, when the quarantine is lifted or the lockdown is lifted, wherever you are, this command needs to be fulfilled. You know, in the book of Acts, this was Jesus' command. Jesus' desire was for the good news to go beyond Jerusalem. But none of the disciples wanted to go out. They were comfortable where they were. So what did God allow to happen? God, you know what He did? He allowed persecution to take place against Christians. And because of this, Christians left Jerusalem. And wherever they went, they brought the good news and the gospel. That's one way. You know, God can allow circumstances to take place so that His purposes would be fulfilled. Other times, they just obeyed. They just went. Right? We have stories of Thomas, one of the closest, traveling all the way to India. He went as far as India to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul, later on, you know, a disciple of Christ as well, went beyond Jerusalem towards the Middle East, declaring God's good news. Just get going. You may be, you know, opportunity for somebody to hear God's word right now. All you need to do is just to ask them, hey, can I pray for you? Do you want to know Jesus? It's as simple as asking a question and then you sharing what you know about Jesus. That's all that you need to do. Remember, these disciples didn't have a Bible yet. Today, that's a huge advantage that we have. We actually have the Gospels. We can read about the life of Jesus and talk about what he talked about and his instructions. All they had was their experience, but that was enough. Whatever you've experienced in Jesus is sufficient for you to begin telling others about the good news. Let's get going. Let's get going with people in our home, with our neighbors, with people in our network, online, or on our phone list. And you're going to see how God and through his Spirit will begin to use you there. He also says here that we're to go and baptize. Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is that about? Well, here at ICS Church, we believe in the baptism in terms of immersion. But what this simply means is that the inclusion of those in the spiritual family of Jesus Christ, in the family of the Lord. To baptize somebody is to include them in the family of God. How do we do that? By, you know, after somebody has put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're automatically part of the family of God. And when we baptize them in water, they are making a public profession of this truth. Because that born-again experience is something that's invisible, that we don't see. But when we go through water baptism publicly, they're declaring to the whole world that they now belong to the family of God. They now follow Jesus Christ. That invisible, internal decision is being expressed publicly through water baptism. And it's an act that expresses to the world that I follow God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're included in the spiritual family of the Lord. It's not an organized religion or a particular church, but is the spiritual family of believers. And finally, number four, as disciples, we are to go and teach. Teach what? Teach disciples to obey. Not just teach them about doctrine or teach them theology. I mean, knowledge, Scripture tells us, puffs up, but love builds up. See, when it comes to Jesus, when he was on earth, he was all about obeying what the Father has instructed his people to do. It wasn't so much memorizing or learning. That's good in itself. That's good to know those doctrines. It's good to know those theologies. But if we're lacking in obeying and manifesting the fruits of the Spirit in our life, in our relationship with the people around us, then it's all useless. Remember what Paul said, right? Faith, hope, and love, these are all great things, but the greatest of these is love. Because love manifests itself. And Jesus was the ultimate expression of God's love to us on earth. If we're going to teach people, we need to teach them to obey all the commands that Jesus Christ gave. Not just the doctrines, not just the theologies, but the commands. And one of the commands that you could start with is love the Lord your God and love others as you love yourself. I believe if we start there, we'll be on the right path as we move forward. This is how we begin to live it out. This is how we become disciples and how we make disciples. And you're saying, you know what? That's really complicated right now, you know? I still don't know how to do it. Well, you know, this is why we exist as a church. We exist to love, disciple, and send. And if you want to learn how to disciple others to follow Jesus, would you send us a message right here on this page? And we want to be able to guide you and to teach you to know how to do that. But today, right where you are, you can actually begin by thinking about someone, by offering to pray for someone, by asking them, would you like to know more about Jesus, and then telling them your story. It's as simple as that. And that's how discipleship begins. It's you telling somebody else about your experience in Jesus and what you know about Jesus and helping them to obey as you yourself follow Jesus. Being a disciple and making a disciple. This was Jesus' last command and needs to be our first priority today. You know the beautiful promise of Jesus when he said this to them in verse 20 of Matthew 28. He says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We don't know when Jesus will come again. As the disciples in the book of Acts were looking up as Jesus ascended, angels appeared and said, "Hey, guys, stop looking up into heaven. Jesus will return the same way that you see him go. But go and fulfill what he has asked you to do." That same command echoes and resounds in our generations, our followers of Jesus. And we need to follow Jesus' command. We exist as a church to do this together. You are not alone. And I believe God has allowed even the difficulties of this time so that his message could go throughout the internet, streamed worldwide, as long as there is a signal. The gospel is being shared, even in tangible ways, as churches are mobilized to be Jesus' hands and feet to frontline workers, to communities who are in need. ICS, you have been part of this. Through your generosity, through your prayer, God's love is being shared. This is why we are here. We're more than a building. In fact, we are actually a people. This building exists so that we could facilitate loving God, loving others, being a disciple, making a disciple, and sending disciples to influence all areas of life through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will experience that where you are today. Would you pray with me right now as we come to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you came, you saved us, and you called us to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, that salvation did not end there. You continue to have a command for us while we are here on earth. Lord, the fact that we are still alive today in the 21st century and specifically at this time is because you have a desire for each one of us. In every nation, in every community where we are in every condo building, in every barangay where you have positioned us, Lord, we're there for a purpose. It was your desire for us to be there. Help us, Lord God, to be filled with your Spirit. Empower us, Lord, to be effective witnesses for you in everything that we say, in everything that we do. Not, Lord God, just to remain in the comforts of our own rooms, in our own homes, but to seek a way so that we can be salt and light in our communities where you have placed us. Even right now, Lord, you're speaking to some of us to send somebody a message, to encourage a family member or a friend. Father, help us to be bold enough to express your love to them today. If you're listening to this and you don't yet follow Jesus, but you desire to, I want to encourage you just to pray with me in this few moments. You know, he has a wonderful plan for your life. His plan is not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. And if you would trust him today, that can begin right now where you are. So pray with me and make this as if it's your own prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for living for me and dying for me so that I don't have to, and resurrecting on the third day, promising me a new hope in this life and the life to come. Forgive me, Lord, for my rebellion, my disobedience, and my sins. Beginning today, I want you to be my Savior. I receive you, and I choose to follow you as my Lord and Master. Come and lead me beginning today. Amen. If you did that, if that was your choice, hey, all heavens are rejoicing and we are rejoicing with you. Let us know. Send us a message. We want to be able to help you grow as you follow Jesus. Hey, God is with us wherever we are. His Holy Spirit has been sent. And like Jesus promised, because of his Spirit, he is with us always. So you can expect that even as the stream ends, God's Spirit continues to be with you. We pray that you will be blessed throughout this week. And remember, be a disciple, make a disciple. This is Jesus' last command and needs to be our first priority. Stay tuned for the next few moments as we share with you some reminders. God bless you guys. Thank you once again for joining us today.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.